I greet the church mice, and the janitor, and the saints of the living God. Saints of the living God, whether hiding in plain sight or not, are being conformed into the image of God's Son, the image of Christ. I just want to encourage everyone, because I'm in the same strait, and I would just as soon be somewhere else. But I'm not, and neither are you. We're where he's put us, and so I exhort us all to keep on walking forward, not looking to the left or the right, because it's getting worse. Now to get on with this happy message, happy encouragement. We know that we've been given up. We know that. Where are we now? Down here, on the road, in the dust, winding through life. Well, as a nation, we've gone around the bend, and we have been given up. I want to talk a little bit about Babylon. Why not? There have been governments and systems in history that had been affectionately called Babylon. Rome of the first century was one such government and system. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. 1 Peter 5:13. How about that? Peter seems to have had a sense of humor. Peter's letter didn't go to Persia, and some of our impotent teachers believe that Rome, namely the Catholic Church, is Babylon or the harlot. There may be some truth to these claims, but I would doubt that our illustrious last days prophets' conclusions can ever be credible, because as we've learned, their predilection for irrelevancy is legendary. By all accounts, we can be Gog, Magog, Babylon, the harlot, Manasseh, Ephraim. Is the identification of our spiritual or historical ethnicity worth our souls, I ask? Are we in it or not? If we are, then are we ready if our souls be required of us this day? We can't die without knowing if we're Ephraim or if we're Babylon. We can't, can we? What will it matter if in a twinkling of an eye we awaken somewhere far from this beloved planet? I exhort you to be careful of even the little beasts that sit at the head of the rabbit trails we so happily hop down. Following after them can get you lost. It's still about our souls and not about academic postulates from pseudo-prophets and teachers. Back to Babylon. I propose that any large, prosperous, oppressive, and corrupt system fits this bill, because it's about a spirit which controls these systems, whether singular, numerous, diverse, big, small, doesn't matter. Even France of the 18th century was called this, and its leader Napoleon was feared as the Antichrist. They had it down. They knew it. Well, Antichrists aside, every empire fell, and its power evaporated, sooner or later. Today we have another candidate worthy of this dubious distinction, and we all know that it's our own nation. Though I cannot and I will not say that this nation is the Babylon of the last days, I will say that our might and influence, our decadence and corruption fits this nation like a glove. Seems to be a virtual match made in prophecy. I believe that Babylon is first and always a spirit, Just as I believe that the spirit of Antichrist need not be embodied in one entity to exert its influence upon minds and souls and governments or systems. The spirit of Antichrist has been with us from the beginning. I have a tough enough time keeping my soul and walking a narrow way with Christ. To me, that's enough. But to some within the sound of my voice, it's not. We know that the spirit which is called Mystery Babylon is described as a harlot, a single entity, a spirit of false religion, a spirit that in love with itself. This single spiritual entity has dominion over all the earth's religions through all time, stands to reason. It's called the mother or the source of all harlots and abominations in the earth. And since the beginning, there has indeed been much harlotry, rebellion, and abominations. This beast or Babylon we love so is another dominating spirit over the kingdoms and systems of the earth. It's not just about one particular government or people or one religion in a particular time in history. Though prophecy states that this religious system and its ruler and the beast she rides will ultimately fall. No, I have no timeline to offer. We don't have time for the conjecture or the assumption anymore. But we do have time to look at our own nation in the light of current events and in the light of Scripture to see how well the bloody glove fits in these perilous times. Let's face it, we're in it. It's coming apart around our ears. So I would say to the church that is at Babylonica, judgment has begun. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. James 5:1. This once glorious Babylonica is shredding into pieces, collapsing into ruin. Can't we see the smoke rising? Can't we hear the perplexity of the world over our Babylonica, which stumbles and withers up and causes fortunes to be lost and commerce to dry up and cease? Aren't the merchants of the earth in fear, weeping and mourning over her now, to some degree? For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore? Is Babylonica's money worth anything? Its products? Babylonica makes no more products. Babylonica's factories rust in the rain. Its smokestacks are filled with birds and spiders, maybe bats. Babylonica's proud and prosperous craftsmen languish in inactivity. Many penniless, homeless, hopeless, ruined. What product but its people are left as its currency of trade? There are many merchants standing afar off watching Babylonica burn down even now. It's not fully engulfed, but well on the way to crisp. That's a fact. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He openeth his eyes, and he is not. Job 27:19. This is how fast it's happening. The minute he opens his eyes, as I've said, in the twinkling of an eye, he's not. He's gone. Everything he has, everything he was, is past tense. In a day, a moment, the twinkling of an eye, our fortunes wiped out. Our lust for security and riches and power has condemned us, obviously. Hasn't Babylonica made all nations drink of the wine of her fornication? To drink of the bitter lie brought to them, and Babylonica hasn't become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird? Believe me when I say I have tasted the hateful for hate's sake. Haven't you? Not pretty. Being conformed to the image of Christ is tough because we can't fight back, even if we know they got it coming back at them. It's a race and it's a fight, and it's war. Babylonica's religions and idols are diverse and abominable. She draws all to herself, She speaks over God, and her spokesmen invite every foulness into their flocks. Babylonica begins to dine on humble pie today, and she doesn't like it. She cries out, but no one answers her. She grumbles, but the sky grows ever darker above her head. Babylonica has overextended the borders of her empire, and like her old sister Rome, she has left her vulnerable flanks exposed. Her city gates are unguarded. There are none left to defend her, not even the gods of wood, metal, and stone she so fervently worshipped. Even the very image of herself turns from her and takes flight. Babylonica's streets swell with the disenfranchised, filled with despair and violence. Her own corruption and violence has returned as a curse upon her own head now. The die is cast. Babylonica's hungry survivors will be burying their dreams and their dead, and she will hang her head in shame, if there was any shame in her heart to begin with. And I tell you, it is too late for the indignation to relent. The church at Babylonica will hide amidst the chaos and despair. The church at Babylonica will endure and witness firsthand the paying of the wages for rejection of God, for lust, immorality, and unbelief, just like God's own remnant witnessed these things that came upon the nation Israel by the hand of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon. The church at Babylonica sighs and cries for all the abominations that be done in the midst of her. They can do nothing to change her evil heart. So they wait. And to the church which is scattered abroad, it will witness firsthand the indignation of a holy and sovereign God upon a nation to which relief and salvation will never come, to a nation which has been given up by God, because they have given up, because they will not hear. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 21 through 27, has much to say about what is occurring in this land of devils, foul spirits, and unclean and hateful birds. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as chief over thee. Shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or a leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil? Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, that thy shame may appear. I have seen thine adulteries and thy neighings, the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills and in the fields. Woe unto thee, Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? No, ancient national Jerusalem, and no, Babylonica, you won't be made clean. I suppose some of us think these words of Jeremiah only applied to a rebellious nation in the day of Babylon's invasion of Israel. And then when it was done, what? Done deal? No more application to the same spirit of rebellion and unbelief that's alive and well and abominable to God today? Wrong-o. Wrong-o. We think we're playing the old ball game on a new field. Different rules. Nope. Don't think so. The same judgment applies to all, no matter the timeline, no matter the location. Jeremiah tells us of the fate of any nation or individual who hearkens not to the call of God to come to him or to return to him and forsake one's idols and worldly lusts. It's all through prophecy, even in the New Testament. Babylonica loves her idols and her cathedrals and her drunkenness on the wine of her own deception. And God stalks us as a leopard by the way. In the last days, this Babylon of Revelation isn't given a chance to repent. Its remnant repented by God's will, but Scripture says that this unholy nation and system is summarily judged, as were all nations who welcomed and nurtured the spirit of the harlot. In this land of Babylonica lives a remnant, God's spiritual Israel, his ecclesia, which is harbored and protected from the judgments upon the national entity. And God's remnant will witness and is witnessing the fall of empire, the fall from grace and judgment. And just how terrible will his judgments be? Read the prophets. How about Hosea chapter 13? Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. And a literal application to this scripture in Hosea, hasn't our moral and spiritual heart been in a state of arrest, missing in action? Isn't Babylonica bleeding from its guts as a nation? Or do we really have to see lions and leopards and bears? Oh my. Aren't we hemorrhaging from every social and monetary orifice now? Our wealth spills out like blood on the sand, and the body count rises. We have become a pariah in the world, stripped and useless. Sounds like judgment to me. Looks like it, too. Today, in these last days, as spoken of by John the Apostle and others, the whole world is in wickedness and under God's judgment. And this judgment has not been taken seriously by the inhabitants of Babylonica, nor its abominable religions, especially the religion which calls itself after the name of God's Redeemer. Thus saith the Lord unto this people, you've heard me quote this before, thus have they loved to wander, they have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Jeremiah 14:10. Well, the point of no return has been passed. We are around the bend. A time is coming upon us now where even our money is going to be thrown in the streets. Money? Money for what? A dreadful sound is in his ears. In prosperity shall the destroyer come upon him. That work is for God's destroyer, which is now in the earth and hard at it. The good times have ended. The prosperity preachers had better hide their necks and their backsides because God has given them up. This is after God's pleas go unanswered. He quits. He gives them up. Welcome to Babylonica. Do we recall Revelation 22:11? Contrary to popular belief, as far as I'm concerned, this scripture has nothing to do with choice anymore, folks. Nothing. Free will has literally led to a cessation of free will. We chose ourselves onto one path or the other, and the courses now, in these days, are immutable. We're being raised up for a slaughter. God gives up. God turns away. God's mercy has limits. God pleads his controversies, and then he's done. Then the door is locked. The way is shut. Heaven becomes silent. So by all means, don't repent, Babylonica. I don't think you can. You're now paying for your rent and bread and gas from your IRAs and your retirement funds. And you were so sure you were set. Well, you now lose your illusions of freedom. Your prosperity drains away, as does the comfortable futures you worked for. You acted like you called the shots. Now you're taking the shots. You never stood up for your God. You stood up for yourself and for your lusts. You're reaping a whirlwind now because you chose yourself over God. And His will or not, you made a choice. The camps are set and the storm is breaking, and Babylonica is fresh out of options. You are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of shelter. There is no shelter to be found anymore. Your sanctums are history. And to the church, which is at Babylonica, I give you Ezekiel 37:27. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God's ecclesia have left the abominations of Babylonica's temples of worship. They are temples themselves now through Christ. God's ecclesia have forsaken the world, whose image has been defined by the dictates of this murderous harlot called Mystery Babylon. Until the king returns, darkness and terror will reign, as God's ecclesia shelter behind their shut doors in this last day's type and shadow of old Goshen. They shelter in their only refuge, their God. They shelter and are covered and protected now by not just the blood of an animal upon the doorposts and lintels. They are covered and protected by the blood of God Himself through His own image who dwelt among us. The doors to their hearts are washed in this precious blood. The blood of the living Lamb of God, slain before the foundations of the world. A stone that the builders of spiritual houses rejected. A stone that few fall upon and become broken in repentance. A stone that will fall upon many and grind them to powder. And these are the words of the stone Himself, Jesus Christ, in Matthew 21:44. And in the meantime, Babylonica wastes away from a cancer that was once her greatness, now turned back upon her because of her whorings and pride and arrogance. She reaps the wages of her sins now. Babylonica is tied to no moorings. She has no safe harbor any longer. She tosses up and down on a raging sea, and the birds are circling. Falling, falling. And the reason she falls is because God has given her up. Does it truly matter whether this is the Babylon of the prophecy? I say not. What matters is that it is falling, and we are in it, and our faith is being tested, and we are wearing out. So is this Gog or Magog? Babylon, the harlot, it doesn't matter now. There's a fire in the movie house. All the seats are occupied, and the exits are blocked. Terrors take hold on him as waters. A tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. For God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. Men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. Even now, this is so.